Only 57 miles outside of New York City on the Hudson River is the city of Newburgh. It's fallen from the status of All-American City, awarded by Look magazine in 1952, to in 1981 being put on a federal list of most distressed areas in the United States. As recently as May 2010, about 500 enforcement officers conducted a massive sweep through the city to staunch the rampant drug trade. Newburgh, Portrait of a City, is a book of photographic portraits that focuses on the often overlooked and ignored population of the downtown section of the city, as well as its abandoned buildings, which have been left to collapse. The photographer behind the project is Dimitri Castorine. He has photographed cultural figures from Roy Lichtenstein to Johnny Cash, Roald Dahl, to Mick Jagger. His work was recently displayed at the National Portrait Gallery in London and is in the permanent collection of the Smithsonian in Washington. He has a long association with Stanley Kubrick, talking movie stills on the sets of Dr. Strangelove, 2001 A Space Odyssey, and A Clockwork Orange. It is a great pleasure and an honor to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
What brought you to, I mean, you live in Garrison, so what got you thinking about looking at up and down the streets of Newburgh and photographing the things that you saw, and specifically the people that you met?
Well, it was a total failure of finding something interesting in Garrison. I was at a loss to know what to do next. And I was standing outside the inevitable place where we gather, the supermarket, talking to a friend, telling him that I had taken one boring picture after another. And he just looked at me and said, "Try Newburgh." And I did. And one afternoon, Caroline and I drove into Newburgh, and I stopped the car, got out, and asked a young man with no shirt on if I could photograph him, and he said, "No, you can't." So I said, "Do you have any friends who you might, you think might allow me to photograph them?" And he said, "No, in fact, I should get into your car and leave." And I did. Of course, I had seen in that very short space of time wonderful faces, faces I was looking for. And I love ruins, and there were plenty of them. And I thought to myself, "No, this is going to be all right. I'm going to come back." And I did. And I never had that same reaction again. In fact, now, after 17 years, I'm pretty well accepted as somebody who has done something that they are very happy about, which is taking notice of a population that has indeed been overlooked.
I want to talk about that population in just a moment, but to put it in perspective, how used to, as a photographer, are you being having people say no? Because it seems when the old adage is for us who interview that people love to talk about themselves and tell stories. So when you walk up to a person and say, "I would love to photograph you," is the reaction usually yes?
Yes, it is. And it fails if you think about it and get frightened, because it comes out nervously.
Mm.
And that's fatal for people. Now, I had other things going for me. I'm too old to be a policeman.
Right.
I talk funny. And I have a way of leaping at the chance. It hits me across the back of the shoulders like a lead pipe. And I can't help just saying, "Look, you're wonderful. You're exactly right. I want to take your picture." And people do respond to that. And, you know, the population in Newburgh that I was after are these very special African descendants with American Indian blood in them, because they all come from a particular part. Well, not all of them, but many come from a particular part of the Carolinas where there was a mixture of blood. And they have these astonishing looks. And I fell into a gem of photographic subjects.
The cover of the book, and people can simply go online and Google Newburgh Portrait of a City and see the cover, is very striking. It is of a young man, I would assume in his late teens, early 20s.
Yes.
And he has a jacket on, but it's pulled off. He is mostly shirtless. And he is standing there with the city in the background with a brace on his right arm. How long does it take to set up something like that?
Well, that took a little longer because he was playing the giddy goat with me. He was dodging in front of me, posing, and then running away from me and beckoning me on in a taunting way. And finally, after turning this way, turning that way, he was always half a block ahead of me. And I then said to him, look, if you want your picture taken, go and stand in the middle of Broadway and shut up. And he did, but he kept posing. And I said, no, don't do that. Please don't do that. Just stand there and look into the camera. Oh, by the way, I also used a Rolleiflex camera, which doesn't really look like a camera. And people were rather intrigued by that because, you know, that's the twin lens reflex.
Yeah.
And mine was from the 1950s.
Well, and they're big, right?
Yeah, well, they're quite big. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
But that Ben on the cover, and he enjoyed himself, and he left me and skipped off down the street. And it might have taken 10 minutes because of the darting around in the first place. Otherwise, every moment you spend not taking the picture of you asked, it gets watered down. The feeling gets watered down. I have to jump and do it. And sometimes the light's not right, so we cross the street into the shade with the light reflecting off a building where I've just been standing. Or we go under some cover so that the light's not too much from the top. It's done in 5 minutes. And then I just leave and I say, I'll bring you a picture. And that was the other thing. I used to more or less always bring a picture so that I could put my face in the city again.
What is it about, because several of the photographs in the book have families or groups of people or siblings sitting on the steps of buildings and not posing, but I assume you found them sitting on their stoop of their
yes,
home when you
yes.
when you chose to take their picture.
Yes.
And that is rather natural in the sense of to find these people together. Was it intriguing to you to learn the relationship and to see?
Well, when I was working there, it was a photographic enterprise. It's become something else since then, but I stopped when I saw the potential, and I then took the picture. Now, sometimes I took a group of people, but I'd spotted one person within that group, and I needed them. Mm-hmm. But in order to get them, I had to go through the process of taking the group. Now, sometimes the group turned out okay, but sometimes it wasn't very good because people fooled around and made faces, and I couldn't get my picture. But then I said, look, can I just take you alone? And almost always I was able to do that.
Dimitri, the faces are so stunning. I mean, these close-up shots of these faces, and it really is it's beautiful work and beautiful people. So, what is it? What were you looking for?
Well, no more than what I was drawn to. I was looking for the faces I was searching for, and I didn't know what they were going to look like, but when I saw them, I put up my tripod and took the picture. And I didn't really find out much about who my subjects were, but until I started working on the exhibition, which is still up on the side of the Ritz Theatre. And then some of those people got in touch with us, and my wife got in touch with them through Facebook. And now we're actually involved with making videos of them, sometimes 15 years later. And that's going to be very interesting for them to tell us about their lives.
We are talking to photographer Dmitry Kasterine. His new book is Newburgh, Portrait of a City. The fascinating thing about this portrait is that it is a portrait of the people of the city. But there are many pictures of the structures, of the houses, of the old storefronts, of churches, and that are badly beaten and worn. And actually, in contrast to the liveliness of the faces, is a fascinating contrast. So what were you looking for in the place, in finding those structures?
Ruins I love. And that really is the only reason I took those pictures, was that they were tumble-down places, and I find tumble-down places intriguing, and I will always aim my camera at one. It's to do with also that the restored houses have this unbearable prettiness about them with that fresh paint, and I wasn't ever there to take a postcard view of Newburgh. In fact, I've had complaints from people that I didn't, and therefore it wasn't a portrait of Newburgh. But I explained that a portrait is through the eyes usually of one person, and if they are so inclined to ignore the prettiness, that is their privilege. I couldn't say any more than that. I mean, somebody else can come along and take the pretty houses.
That would be a different portrait.
Exactly.
A different portrait.
Yeah.
The thing, again, I'm wondering how much you look for this contrast. There's a wonderful photo in the book of an old Victorian home with a wraparound porch and these gorgeous peaks and double chimneys. And then in the forefront of the photo, and it looks very much discarded and long forgotten, and the grass has grown up, and there's a tire in the corner, and it just looks like it is forgotten. And yet there are these two chairs in the front which looks like they've been vacated moments before you took the photo. Is that something that you look for?
Well, no, hardly anything was something that I created. It was all there. And that
well,
house,
not create, but do you look for it to because you could have taken the photo in such a way that they were out of it.
I did indeed leave them in, because that splash of pink is okay.
Yes.
Now, that house has not had a single thing done to it for 41 years, and I compare it with the endurance of the African-American population of Newburgh, who've endured for 60 years, ever since urban renewal, which was a total failure, as you know, nothing has been done for them to speak of. And that house, I'm afraid, I can see the bulldozers there next week.
Nuts.
And it's a beauty, absolute beauty.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, it's my favorite.
How did you, in your career, which I mentioned in the introduction, has everything from working and doing work with Kubrick to doing this of portrait work. First of all, how did you end up working with Kubrick?
Well, I'd met somebody who said that they'd just been working on one of his films, and at that moment, Paths of Glory was being shown in London, and I was very moved by that. So I said to a magazine that I worked for a lot, we really should do something about this man. He's quite remarkable. So I went down there. He was making Dr. Strangelove. And he said to me one day, after I'd been there a few days, would you like to come and work for me because you stand in the right place?
Mm.
And that I took to be an acute observation from another photographer, because, as you know, he was a photographer,
mm-hmm.
and meant that he was probably thinking that I might be able to take some pictures that he'd like. And our association lasted quite a while, and I learnt a number of things from him, which I shall never forget, such as patience and not being afraid of anything. You are the person who are directing the film and taking the photograph. Nobody must get in your way. I remember him several times making life extremely awkward for people. He did everything himself, as you know. He'd mm-hmm. photograph everything. I've got pictures of him just alone with a clapperboard and his camera. And at the same time, he never seemed to be actually directing the film. He was always worried about his daughter's mice dying and the man who'd...
she had a problem with the mice dying,
yes.
Did she?
Yeah. The man who'd sold him a car that he literally did not get home before it broke down. And those sort of things, you know, he was interested in everything.
At what point for you as a photographer did you realize that you were standing in the right place?
Well, I think I did know when I wasn't standing in the right place.
Mm.
And I had one big influence in my life, Michael Wallace, who's a photographer in London. He's now dead. He was always telling me, look, if things aren't going well from here, go round over there and have a look. And at least that would make the person look somewhere else and shuffle and alter their position.
Mm.
And Stanley was always doing that.
Because he knew what he wanted.
Well, yes.
Mind.
I mean, he walked in one day after a two-day build of a set, and he looked. And then he went round over there and he looked. He says, it's better from here. Take it down, rebuild it so I can shoot from here.
Hmm.
No nonsense. I mean, and just walked away. I expect he's like many brilliant film directors, but I'd actually had enough. After that, I loved him, but I couldn't do any more. Luckily, his daughter took over. She was a very good photographer.
Mm. And but you were always interested in the, it seems, from what I've read about you, about the faces, about the
yes,
the portraits,
indeed. Yeah.
About the
yeah.
the people.
He complained once because I took some pictures which I don't think he liked very much. And he said, You go for the expression, don't you?
Mm.
And in a way, yes, but my expressions usually are that somebody has looked calm and you don't know what they're thinking. But I think he wanted some pictures of Peter Sellers hamming it up.
There are photographers, wonderful photographers who take portraits of people and they will put them in all kinds of
That's
exotic
right.
different situations and so forth. You don't work that way. You don't
no,
want that.
No, I want them to be immediately, if possible, so I can get it done, calm and collected and direct and nothing smoothed out, nothing planed down. Nothing that's polite.
Was it difficult to find Peter Sellers in a moment where he wasn't hamming it up? Or
it was in a way, yes. he was very good as the, I thought, as the president. He didn't ham it up there. Mm. And of course, he was wonderful, actually, as Dr. Strangelove. He was wonderful altogether. But I can't remember the exact thing that Stanley was referring to, and I didn't take it too badly.
No, obviously not. The new book is absolutely beautiful. It is Newburgh, Portrait of a City, and you mentioned that there is an exhibit that's still up in Newburgh.
Yes, it's up on the side of the Ritz Theatre, and it's withstood storm and tempest, and it's still there. These marvelous prints, and it's amazing that it is there. Thanks to the wonderful work of the man who put it up.
And, wonderful.
Yes.
Well, it is a beautiful book, and absolutely just some stunning work in it. Dimitri Kasterine is the photographer. Again, the book is Newburgh, Portrait of a City. What a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.